The PBS children's series Sesame Street recently made headlines for its announcement that a character, a Muppet, Julia, who has autism, would make her television debut in April. Here's a clip from the upcoming show where Big Bird introduces himself to Julia.
Hi, guys. Hi, Elmo. Hi, Abby.
Happy birthday, Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Oh, who's this?
Oh, this is our friend, Julia.
Oh, hi, Julia. I'm Big Bird. Nice to meet you.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Do you welcome the addition of autism to this popular show for children? Do you think it will make a difference in the lives of individuals who have autism or their families? Are you among those who have experience with autism? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what is your reaction to Sesame Street introducing a Muppet who has autism? Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Emily Levine, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin. She also serves on the steering team for the statewide Community of Practice on Autism and Other Developmental Disabilities and is on the planning committee for the Milwaukee-based Urban Autism Summit. Emily is also the parent of a 29-year-old who is on the autism spectrum. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. So, what was your reaction when you heard the news from Sesame Street?
We are very excited about it. What we try to do at the Autism Society is reduce stigma and increase acceptance of everybody. And having a character on Sesame Street, which is such an iconic children's show, is just another step forward in showing people with autism as part of the community and included in the neighborhood.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about why you think this might reduce stigma, increase understanding.
What I've seen over the years is that things that are not talked about are stigmatized, that, you know, people, especially children, wonder why isn't something talked about, and they might draw incorrect conclusions about why someone isn't included, or that, you know, that they're naughty if they have an unusual behavior, or that they're not interested in being a friend if they don't say hello. And so by showing Julia and some of her differences and showing how the other Muppets welcome her and include her just as she is a very important step.
Journalist Leslie Stahl interviewed some of the characters of Sesame Street about Julia on 60 Minutes, and let's take a listen to a clip from that.
Big Bird, when you first met Julia, she didn't answer you either.
Yeah, that's right. And I thought that maybe she didn't like me.
Yeah, but you know, we had to explain to Big Bird that Julia likes Big Bird. It's just that Julia has autism. So sometimes it takes her a little longer to do things.
You're explaining her because you've come to understand her so well.
We're pretty good at understanding people. We live with a grouch.
Very cute. But Julia, didn't say hello right away to Big Bird. And it's not that she doesn't like Big Bird. It just takes her a little longer to do things. How did you like that explanation?
I have found that to be very true. I have a memory of my own son walking him to school and having children come towards us and greet him. And by the time he said hello, 10 steps later, they were half a block away. And I always wondered, you know, what did those kids think? Did they think he wasn't wanting to be a friend? And it's just hard to know what other kids will think if you don't react in an expected way.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk a little bit about why an individual who is on the autism spectrum, someone like Julia, would not say hello right away. I know the explanation there was it takes a little longer to do things, but maybe you can explain why a child may not say hello when greeted.
Well, the hallmarks of autism, what they look for when they make a determination that an individual has autism, is that they have differences in the way they communicate, in the way that they interact with other people, and in the behavioral repertoire they exhibit. So those are kind of the three things that would help a diagnostician determine whether or not someone had autism. So there might be a difference in understanding social greetings. There might be a processing delay in processing the language and understanding what's expected in any given situation. Or there might be an intense focus on something else at the moment when someone says something to you that would impede the individual's ability to respond immediately.
Yeah. So do you have any hopes on how you would like to see Julia portrayed?
You know, I don't know. Autism is such an individual thing. And I know that they have talked about that, how, you know, one character can't possibly represent the entire spectrum of autism. But I think that they have done a really good job so far in what I've seen in making this one individual Muppet, Julia, have a engaging personality and highlighting her interests and highlighting her as a part of the community. And that's, I guess, just what I'd like to see, is that they continue to show her engaged in her interests and, you know, show some of her struggles, but also show her being a friend and being welcome.
Yeah. And what do you hope children learn about autism from Sesame Street?
You know, I think that the main thing that I would like to see is that it's okay to be different. And that's true of any disability or any kind of difference that people exhibit. And that's what Sesame Street really is known for, is looking at differences and hard times and just all people as being part of this neighborhood, and that we are all part of the same community and we need to be kind to each other.
We are talking about autism and the news that Sesame Street is going to be adding a character, a new Muppet, Julia, on Sesame Street, who has autism. And we welcome your reactions to that, and we welcome your questions about autism. We also welcome your experiences with autism. Are you or someone in your family affected by autism? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Angela in Fitchburg is with us. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. I understand that you are a parent of a child who was diagnosed with autism.
Yes. Initially, my son, who is 9 years old now, was diagnosed at the age of 3 by the school. And then I, with so much political type rhetoric in the social media about school districts falsely diagnosing children with autism, sought him to be medically diagnosed.
I'm not sure I followed that, Angela. So what was political about this?
We had situations here where the district was being accused of misdiagnosing a lot of children, those of minority descent, with such conditions as ADHD and autism.
Oh.
So what I did was, is I looked into the medical aspect of the diagnosis, and that's when I received a medical diagnosis instead of just having a school diagnosis of autism.
I see. So what do you hope, Angela, is... you know, I don't know. Is there something that you hope the Sesame Street character will do, or do you have a message for anyone who might be in a similar situation?
I praise Sesame Street for taking the leap into engaging children. I recall them doing this with Down syndrome children, and now that we is bringing to light about the condition of autism. I think it will bridge a gap that is so needed in creating a sense of social acceptance. But then also I hope that parents would utilize that parental guidance in speaking and being verbally involved while their children is viewing Julia in the Sesame Street setting.
Thank you, Angela, for calling. We'll get our guests to respond to your thoughts after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org.
Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away.
Yeah!
On my way to where the air is sweet.
Can you tell me how to get
to Sesame Street?
And that is Julia and Abby singing the theme song for Sesame Street. Julia happens to be a new character for Sesame Street. She will debut in April, which happens to be Autism Awareness Month. Julia has autism, and we are welcoming your reaction to this Muppet joining the cast who is on the autism spectrum. And we are talking with our guest about what this might accomplish. Our guest hopes that it will aid in the well-being and understanding and awareness of those who have autism, reduce the stigma. What about you? What questions do you have? What are your reactions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Emily Levine, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin. She also serves on the steering team for the statewide community of practice on autism and other developmental disabilities. She's also on the planning committee for the Milwaukee-based Urban Autism Summit and is the parent of a 29-year-old who is on the autism spectrum. So, Emily, we heard from a caller just before our news break who was hopeful that the character on Sesame Street, Julia, who has autism, would increase awareness of autism. But she also was, I'm not sure exactly how to paraphrase this. She had a concern that a school labeled her son as having autism or ADHD, and she then went to get a medical diagnosis and found out that indeed her son did have a medical diagnosis of autism. Can you tell us maybe a little bit about how one is diagnosed with autism?
Sure. It's a clinical observation that leads to the diagnosis. There isn't anything like you see in Down syndrome, like distinct physical markers. There's not a blood test or there's not anything that they can just test for in the lab. They have to actually observe the person. And the three areas that they look at are either differences or challenges in the areas of communication, social relatedness to other people, and their behavioral repertoire. So one thing we see a lot in individuals with autism is that they thrive in structure and routine. And so novel situations might be challenging for them. They might resist changes to their routine. There's also a sensory component usually where individuals have difficulty with lights or noises or smells or the way things feel on their skin. So there could be a lot of different things going on, and it takes a skilled clinician to really sort that out and see, is this person having challenges because of autism or is there something else going on?
Yeah. So would a child who is diagnosed, would it be typical that a child would get a diagnosis of being on the autism spectrum at the age of 9, or should it happen earlier?
It happens all different ages. I mean, we have adults calling us who are just getting diagnosed or wondering if they should get diagnosed. The individuals that have the what we call like the classic infantile autism who have challenges with verbal language. They tend to get diagnosed the earliest. Individuals who have trouble with self-care and sometimes some learning issues, they tend to get diagnosed very young. But there is a whole group of people that have an IQ in the average range and do have the ability to talk. They might have unusual language patterns or different prosody that makes them seem different. And those are the folks that sometimes are not diagnosed until they're a little older. In some communities where there's not access to medical care for whatever reason, if the child is not getting surveilled by a pediatrician on a regular basis, they might get missed. And sometimes even children who are seen by pediatrician on a regular basis slide through and don't, that doesn't get picked up until they get to school. So for some folks, like the caller, the school does make the determination that this child qualifies for special education services. And autism is one of the umbrellas under which a child can receive special education services. But as the caller said, that's not a medical diagnosis, it's an educational diagnosis. And some schools have been, had that questioned. And then the parents, like the caller, seek out a second opinion and see from a medical provider or psychologist, is this the right way we should be going?
Yeah. So what typically happens to an individual and their family after the diagnosis?
Well, that is a big challenge, and that's one of the things that the Autism Society does. So a lot of families report that they have concerns about their child's development. The child doesn't start talking. Most children by age two can put together short sentences. And so around that second birthday is when a lot of families seek help. In my situation, my son wasn't talking, and he also didn't answer to his name, and so we had his hearing tested, which is what a lot of families do, and we found his hearing was okay, and then our pediatrician referred us to, my son was just about three, he referred us to our school district, and the school districts have early childhood programs that can help families that have a child that has special needs. If your child is under three, the counties in Wisconsin have birth to three services that children can receive help in. We also, recommend that families connect with other families because educators and doctors can tell you they have a certain window they're looking through, but families who live with it 24/7 have a different perspective, mm-hmm. and families can help each other, and that's one of the big things that the Autism Society does is connect parents to each other.
Yeah. So, I mean, how did, maybe you can tell us what it meant to you and your family to get this medical diagnosis for your son.
For me, it was both a relief and a sadness. I mean, I had suspected for a long time that my boy was different. I mean, he was just different from other babies I knew and other toddlers I knew, and I just didn't have the words to put my finger on it. And so I knew something was different. And my pediatrician tried to reassure me and was saying, wait and see. And my in-laws were saying, wait and see. But really, I just knew, I had this instinct that my boy was different and that he needed some help. And so we were able to get him looked at by a psychologist first. And then we eventually went and at the time we went to the University of Chicago and they had a whole team that evaluated him, which was a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and a developmental pediatrician. And I know in Wisconsin, the Waisman Center in Madison has excellent diagnostic team there. They're, one of the challenges we face in Wisconsin is that there can be a long wait to get an evaluation for a child. But the schools can usually do it in a quicker time frame. So if your child has any kind of delays, autism or anything else that you're worried about, and your child is 3 or older, you know, the first thing to do is ask the school to do an evaluation, and they can help out with, they might not know if it's autism or not, but they would be able to tell if there's a language delay. Oftentimes our kids also have some motor issues, and so they might get physical therapy or occupational therapy. But oftentimes the school is the first entity that tells the parents, you know, that they should get something checked out.
We are talking with Emily Levine. She's Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin. We are talking about autism and issues surrounding autism and autism awareness, in part because next month, April, is Autism Awareness Month, but also because of the news that Sesame Street is going to be introducing a character, a new Muppet, who has autism. So what's your reaction to that, and what are your hopes, especially if you are an individual who has autism or have a family member who has autism, perhaps a child? How do you hope the Julia character on Sesame Street will help those on the autism spectrum and help reduce the stigma of autism? 1-800-642-1234. We have an open line for you to hear about your experiences or to field your questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jimmy in Algoma is with us. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
Yes, tell us your story.
Well, I have a 6-year-old son who's autistic. He was diagnosed when he was around 2. And we have an amazing support group network in Algoma, therapists, teachers, family, friends. And one thing I'm concerned about is, I don't know how long ago, like Dan Aykroyd, you know, they said, oh, Dan Aykroyd's on the spectrum. And I know that it's come out as other actors and actresses have been. And my fear is that it kind of it doesn't show the serious side of what families and young children that are on the spectrum are going through. You know, we often hear, oh, can your son play the guitar? Is he really good at the piano? And, you know, no, he didn't sit down at the piano and start playing. You know, so there's a lot of challenges that go along with it, and I'm hoping that this character on Sesame Street can kind of deal with that in a way, you know, show that not all autistic children are savants. You know, there are a lot of challenges that go with it. And, you know, just that can be shown, the daily struggles, not only the character, but the friends and the families that are involved with it.
Thank you, Jimmy. So you want it to be realistic, too.
Yeah, I fear, you know, we have a friend that she sent us a letter and a gift to my son, and she's in her late 20s, and kind of sends us a really nice letter, and all of a sudden was like, oh, yeah, and I've just been diagnosed on the, you know, I'm on a spectrum. Me and Everett have this bond. And I'm thinking it's kind of missing the point that there's so many challenges. It's not hip and cool to be on the spectrum. It's families and children face the challenges that we face daily is huge. And so I kind of fear with a lot of actors and actresses coming out, you know, people being diagnosed later, that the severity of it is lost.
So, Emily, what about Jimmy's comments and his concerns?
That's kind of the challenge of the spectrum disorder. Most people don't seek a diagnosis unless they're struggling in some aspect of their life. And they, you know, it's hard to know without knowing the individuals, but it is challenging with a child who has some challenges with their communication. They get very frustrated. They might have some difficult behaviors. A lot of our folks have learning challenges. It can be very hard for families. It can be very isolating. And that's why we, you know, encourage families to get support teams. But the nature of the spectrum disorder is that some challenges are not as obvious on the surface. So there can be people who, you know, might present as as having everything together, but internally they're struggling, and they might be seeking self-understanding or seeking some help, and that autism might be part of what their struggle is. So, you know, I don't think we don't want to trivialize the struggles that any family is going through, but that is kind of the nature of the spectrum disorders, that some people might be able to hide their challenges better and not appear as they're struggling so much. But in general, people don't seek out a diagnosis unless they do have struggles at some level. And what we like about Julia is that she is more kind of in the middle. She's, you know, typically atypical, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. She's someone who has obviously got some differences, and she's still okay with the neighborhood, and that's what we want to see.
Yeah. So she's in the middle, perhaps, of Julia, the Muppet, is in the middle of the autism spectrum. I guess what Jimmy was concerned that there was, you know, a lot of people have a belief that if you're an autistic, if you have autism, that you can be a savant and you can play the piano or a musical instrument like a maestro.
Yeah, and there is there are people that are like that. There are people that have gifts that are amazing, but it's a very small percentage of the people with autism that have those abilities. And there are people that have, you know, musical ability or artistic ability or mathematical ability, but might struggle in other aspects of their life.
Yeah. We thank Jimmy for the call. Lee called, couldn't stay. He just wanted to know, is there a known genetic component for autism?
You know, that's a really good question. There's not like a specific gene like there is with Down syndrome. But there are people that are doing genetic research, and they have found lots and lots of potential sites. And that's kind of out of my area of expertise. But I do know that if you have one child with autism, your chances of having a second child with autism are a lot more than the general population. And in our family, we have a nephew that has autism, as well as our own son. So there is a genetic component, but they haven't isolated a specific gene.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about autism. April is Autism Awareness Month, and in April, Sesame Street is going to introduce a new Muppet, Julia, who has autism. And we are talking with our guest about what this might mean for autism awareness, what it might mean to reduce the stigma of autism. Welcoming your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We would especially like to hear from you if you or someone in your family is an individual with autism, and what are your experiences, and what are your hopes for this new character on Sesame Street, and what would you like others to know about autism? After this news. We are talking about the introduction of a new character on Sesame Street. She will debut next month, April, just in time for Autism Awareness Month. The character will be a Muppet named Julia, who has autism. And we welcome your reaction to this, and we welcome your own experiences with autism, be it personally, or perhaps a family member, or maybe you have a question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Emily Levine, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin. She's also the parent of a 29-year-old who is on the autism spectrum. Larry in Kingston joins us now. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a son. He still lives with me. He has autism. He's 26 years old. But when he was first born, we didn't know he had autism, and we just thought he had he was just misbehaving all the time. So, you know, his mother and I, we'd, you know, argue about what to do to discipline him to try to straighten him out. And finally I said, well, I'm going to take the kids on a vacation by myself, and you can stay home. And so I have two other kids that are perfectly healthy. And we went to Disney World in Florida, and I disciplined him every time he acted up. You know, I spanked him on his butt. He, you know, he was still wearing a diaper then, and it was with his clothes on. I didn't bare butt spank him or anything, but it just didn't work. And the kids finally said to me, "Dad, this ain't working." So I quit doing it. So when
Larry, I don't mean to interrupt, but you did you know your child had autism at that time, or that was before the diagnosis, huh?
Before the diagnosis.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, we find out that, you know, he has autism, and, we found out a lot of things, you know, but, you know, we were blaming each other for him having, his mother and I were blaming each other for why he had autism, and nobody really knows why.
Yeah.
And that was a problem.
Sounds like it was a real struggle for you.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, like when my son got about 12, 13, 14 years old, we were riding in a car together, and I asked him, I says, "Do you remember when I took you to Disney World and I was spanking you?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I says, "Well, I'm really sorry about it. I can't take that back." And he says to me, "Oh, don't worry, Dad. I'm okay, you know."
Mm.
So he forgave me for, you know, that vacation. But there is so much involved with raising a kid with autism. You know, they like the same environment, they like doing the same things every day. And, like my son to this day is only interested in a few things, sports and action movies and, you know, especially Star Wars.
Yeah.
But there was this teacher in the Marcus Hans school system I want to shout out to. Her name is Stacy Clark. And if anybody that's helping people with autism, they should talk to her because she did wonderful things for my son.
Well, thank you for that shout out. Thank you for sharing your experience and the real struggle that you went through. I'm glad your son forgave you. Boy, Emily, I don't know. I guess do you want to just react to the story overall? Is that
sure.
Typical?
You know, I think that there are that's a not an uncommon story where parents are struggling to understand why their child doesn't react to their parenting the way that their other children do, and that there's, you know, typically we get a lot of misunderstandings because our guys with autism or girls with autism think differently, learn differently, and react differently. So there's that rigidity piece that, you know, that when their routine is disrupted, it can be very upsetting for them, and they might react. And until you understand kind of why that routine is so important, like when my son was little and he needed things a certain way, some of the parenting advice I got is, well, don't let him have it the same way every time. And, you know, you have to challenge that. And that was like the worst possible advice because he never got used to new things. It was really, really hard for him. So, you know, what we find is that individuals need to know what's coming next. And for kids that have auditory processing problems, if you tell them, they might not understand. But if you show them, it's easier to for them to understand. So visual schedules and pictures about what's happening next can reduce their anxiety and help them understand what's coming in a way that just telling them doesn't always work. So it can be challenging to parent kids that are different because, you know, it's not what we're used to, and then you also get judgment from other people if your child acts differently than it's expected or acts in a way that a younger child might act. You know, you might have a 10, 12-year-old kid that's acting like what you would expect from a 4 or 5-year-old and get in trouble, whereas maybe developmentally that is where that child is emotionally, socially, and they need extra support. And it could be visual supports. It could be specialized teaching. Like the man who shared the story said, there are some wonderful educators that helped us along the way. But it's also a challenge sometimes for teachers to know what to do with our kids. So,
yeah, I know that Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin offers courses for people who are new to the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about what those classes entail, but then more generally, resources available to people statewide, if, you know, whoever's listening.
There are a lot of good resources in the state of Wisconsin. You know, for young children, there are providers of services that can come to your home and help teach your child. There are, like I said, the school districts generally have resources for kids that have any kind of disability. We do recommend that people get specific autism training, and they can get that through, you know, most autism societies offer that training. There's a lot of online training available, and there are so many more resources than there were when my son was diagnosed in the early 90s. There was, like, nothing, and I didn't even have internet at that point. But you do have to be careful with what you find on the internet, and it's best to talk to someone local because something that you find online might not be available to you locally. Or it might be someone trying to sell you something that isn't research-based. So we do encourage people to be healthy, have healthy skepticism about anything they find online, and, you know, search out local resources that can help them.
So what are some of the most common therapies for people who are diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum?
So structured teaching is the most popular method of structured teaching in Wisconsin is called ABA, or Applied Behavior Analysis. And it's a way of breaking down tasks into small components and then through repetition, teaching them. And that works for a lot of our children. Most children with autism get some kind of speech therapy. A lot of them get occupational therapy. And occupational therapy can help with things like fine motor delays, some occupational therapists also are qualified to help with the sensory challenges that so many of our guys have. A lot of people with autism also have GI problems, problems with digestion. And then there's up to about 30% of people with autism also have seizure disorders. It has to be really individualized based on each individual and what their needs are.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, I always want to say when I'm talking about challenges is to look for strengths. You know, to not see your child as a compilation of deficits, but also look for their strengths, look for their interests, and nurture those, because that's what we all want for ourselves is for people not just to look at the things we struggle with, but also look at what we're good at, look at what we're interested in, and not, even if they like to do things over and over, try to enjoy that for what it is and look for reasons to celebrate and be happy with your child.
So things have certainly changed since you first learned that your son had had autism. What else is needed, do you think? Oh, I mean, we're, you know, in our final moments here. What else would be helpful for those who have autism or you know, their families?
Right now, we're facing a big problem for what comes after school. For adults with autism, this isn't something that is just a childhood disorder. Our kids grow up, and the next challenges are employment, housing, creating social networks for people that are out of school. That's kind of what I see as the next thing we need to be paying attention to.
Yeah. And a final word on your hopes for Julia on Sesame Street.
I hope that the parents are watching, too. And that they, if their child has a classmate on the spectrum, that they consider inviting that child over for a play date or for a birthday party, and not just dismissing that child as scary or not worthy of their attention.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Emily Levine, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Southeastern Wisconsin, talking with us about the news that Sesame Street is adding a new character, Julia, who has autism. Thank you to Brianne Shasso. She produced this program. Thank you for listening. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk about a public health issue. Talking with a guest who says that more needs to be done to curb smoking in the United States. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Yeah.